ARUP Institute for Learning presents Insight,
Education,
Leader,
Pain Management,
Technology,
Experiment,
Esoterization,
Informatics,
Body Research,
Excellent.
Laboratory Medicine.
Join us as we delve into emerging topics presented by ARUP medical directors who are faculty in the Department of Pathology, School of Medicine, and other highly qualified expert contributors. Therapeutic drug monitoring of concentrations of drugs in body fluids can be used during treatment for diagnostic purposes. ARUP Technical Product Manager Golden Welch sits down with University of Utah pathology resident Dr. Maggie Hopkins and Dr. Kamisha Johnson Davis, an assistant professor at the University of Utah School of Medicine and ARUP Medical Director for Clinical Toxicology, to discuss cases in toxicology and considerations for clinicians in sample collection for prescription drug compliance monitoring. On today's segment, they will be discussing compliance monitoring and sample types.
This is Golden Welch. I'm here with Dr. Maggie Hopkins and Dr. Kamisha Johnson Davis. The cases we're discussing here today are taken from a paper and publication by the American Journal of Clinical Pathology by Dr. Michael Ward on consultation cases. This is the second in a series of three topics on toxicology testing. Dr. Hopkins?
The cases we'll be covering today are patient A, who is receiving prescription for Subutex, which is buprenorphine, and Valium, which is diazepam, and patient B, who is receiving prescriptions for Percocet, which is oxycodone plus acetaminophen, and Klonopin, which is clonazepam. As part of their treatment plans, both patients have signed pain management contracts that outline regular drug testing to determine both compliance with prescriptions and avoidance of non-prescribed and illicit drugs. During their most recent office visit, both patients were tested by a urine point-of-care device with a urine sample sent to a reference lab for additional testing.
What is compliance monitoring?
Compliance monitoring is laboratory testing for patients who are on prescription medications with a high potential for abuse. These patients are tested to make sure that they're actually taking the prescribed drug, because these drugs have a high street value and thus a financial incentive for the patient to continue to fill the prescription without taking the drug. We want to make sure they are actually taking the drug as prescribed. In addition, they are at high risk for abusing other pharmaceuticals and street drugs, so it's important to make sure that the patient's not combining dangerous drugs or doing something that would be a sign of addiction by taking more types of drugs than are prescribed.
What sample types are used in compliance monitoring?
There are a number of sample types which are used for compliance monitoring: hair testing, oral fluid, but the most commonly used types are going to be urine and blood, and specifically serum and plasma from blood.
Is there one type better than another?
In compliance testing, the best sample is urine. This is because you are looking for positives, usually, to confirm compliance with the prescribed drug, and you want a sample with highest likelihood of confirming this positive. And for most drugs, urine is going to be the best, because this is where the drug and the metabolites will collect in the body. It's also easier to collect urine than blood. For the cases outlined here, both patient A and patient B, urine is the preferred sample type for testing.
Dr. Johnson Davis, is there any scenario where blood or another sample type is better in compliance testing?
Yes. So urine concentrations do not correlate with signs and symptoms of toxicity or impairment. So serum plasma can be used if there's a concern for drug efficacy. Or serum plasma can be used if a patient can't produce urine, and so they can collect serum plasma in this scenario. In this case, they should collect the sample before dialysis, because dialysis can cause the drug to clear from the blood. Drug concentrations in oral fluid are significantly lower than urine concentrations and may require more sensitive analytical methods to detect drug concentrations in oral fluid. The amount of drug present in oral fluid is dependent on the pH of the fluid as well as the pKa of the drug. When testing oral fluid, typically the parent drug is most likely detected than the metabolite in oral fluid, which is opposite of urine drug testing. Urine drug testing, usually you're able to detect more metabolites than the parent compound. In addition, drugs with a basic pKa have higher concentrations in oral fluid than drugs with an acidic pKa. As a result, for example, diazepam will have low concentrations in oral fluid than in blood. So these are some of the limitations of using oral fluid for drug testing.
Oral fluid is becoming more widely used.
It's becoming of interest because it can detect whether someone has impairment on the spot. And that's the benefits of doing oral fluid. The limitation is that it does have a shorter window of detection than urine. So urine would be like 1 to 3 days. Oral fluid would be 24 hours or less. So it'll kind of have the same window of detection like blood.
Is it used more for illicit drugs or also for prescription drugs?
There has been publications in the past where they were looking at oral fluid for therapeutic drug management, but currently what's being done would be driving under the influence, workplace testing, pain management settings, especially if there's concern for adulteration. They can collect an oral specimen on spot and it's observed.
So how is an oral fluid sample collected?
There are different collection devices that are available that typically could either use some sort of absorbent pad or there is a diluent in that collection device for saliva collection. Collecting neat specimen may be difficult to work with analytically because it's very viscous, and that's where collection devices with this diluent can be beneficial. Also, the concern would be if someone has dry mouth and they're not able to produce a large volume of specimen, then the diluent can also provide extra volume. But the concern would be that the concentration in that oral fluid could be significantly diluted by the diluent that's in that collection device.
For urine collection, Dr. Hopkins, what's the best time frame to detect drugs?
Usually within 1 to 3 days after drug use.
There are some drugs that have a very short half-life, like cocaine and heroin, and those drugs typically will not be detected 24 hours after use. So it's important to note that some drugs just have a very, very short half-life.
Are there any things to be aware of with sample collection, Dr. Hopkins?
Yes. Some patients will do things to avoid detection of drugs in the urine. If this is a high risk, you may want to have someone observe the sample collection. We have had people submit urine that is not their own. There is even a device available for men to wear that will produce an artificial synthetic urine from a prosthetic penis. In this case, the patient may even be observed while producing the sample, and the person observing would have no idea that this is not the person's true urine. It will even be warm because the urine is kept in a pouch next to the body.
Sometimes patients can interfere with testing by adding adulterants to their urine. There are some adulterants like peroxidase that can actually destroy the drug in the specimen, which would cause a false negative result on a urine drug screen. Some individuals may try to consume lots of water in order to make their urine very dilute so that the concentration of drug could be very low and therefore produce a negative result. Other adulterants can include vinegar, lemon juice to mimic the color or pH of urine. Some individuals have used eye drops, and golden seal can also cause an interference on an immunoassay drug screen to produce a negative result.
Are there any laboratory processes that detect this type of adulteration?
Many labs may have the ability to detect pH, and so they can determine if the pH is normal or abnormal. They can also look at creatinine concentrations to see if creatinine is in a normal range. In addition, specific gravity can also be used to determine if this is appropriate specimen type or not. However, for detecting adulterants like peroxidases, the laboratory doesn't have a test for that.
Are there any scenarios where the collection or transportation of the sample is important to the stability of the drug itself?
Absolutely. So there are several drugs that may not be stable for long periods of time at room temperature. And therefore, it's important that every effort be made to store those specimens either refrigerated or frozen before testing in order to preserve the concentration of the drug in that specimen.
Back to our case examples we mentioned at the beginning. Dr. Hopkins, can you comment on the appropriate sample collection for these cases? And
in these cases, both of the patients are taking an opiate and a benzodiazepine. These drugs will be present in urine along with their metabolites within 1 to 3 days after ingestion. These patients are taking these drugs continuously, so there should not be any issue with the timing of the specimen. The best specimen would be urine because it will be easiest to collect. If there is any issue with the concentrations in urine, an early morning void can be collected because that will have the highest concentrations of drugs.
On the next segment,
we are here to discuss cases in toxicology and considerations for clinicians in collecting the appropriate samples in the appropriate way for therapeutic drug management, or TDM.
The sample type is very important, and it really depends on the purpose of testing, which sample you would like to collect.